Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. This is episode 241 for those of you keeping count at home. I am Winnie Roshan Mascardi, joined today by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters, who is back in action in the saddle. Welcome back, Megan.
I'm back. I'm COVID free. I can breathe.
She's alive.
Great.
We love it. Megan, super important question. What did you think about Pokemon Concierge?
Super adorable. Way too short. I need so much more of it. Given the ratings of it, I fully anticipate that we're gonna get more episodes, which is great for me. I loved it. Like, just as it was getting started, it was over. So
be honest, Megan. Did Pokemon Concierge save your life? So you were afflicted with COVID. And
yeah,
did you
kind of.
Just
I, like there were so few on? Things of like hope in my life at that point, laying with COVID, taking my nebulizer, that I was like, man, what can I do right now? And I was like, I could just watch Pokemon Concierge again. And man, it just makes you feel so warm and happy on the inside. Like I struggle to think of another comfort show that I have like that. Watching that show was like the equivalent of playing Animal Crossing for me.
Yep.
Yeah, it is so cozy. And like the last time I the last cozy show that I can think of like that is what's the Red Panda show?
Agretsuko?
Yeah, that's got a bit of that like cozy feel. That one's more like that's more like cathartic. Than like cozy, but like I feel like they're like sister vibes. Well, we're glad you're back, and we're glad that you retained consciousness enough to play through.
Still a top 10 TV show on Netflix.
It's so good. I was so surprised by the amount of discussion I would see about it on social media, me just like looking online, seeing people just, and it wasn't just people talking about how cute the creatures were. Obviously the Pokemon and Pokemon Concierge are adorable. But just like in general, people talking about how well they vibed with it and how much they wanted more, that is always, I love to see it. So I am very, very happy with like how it was received, because it was kind of a shot in the dark. Obviously we talk about in this podcast about Pokemon being slow to uptake, slow to kind of adopt new kind of modalities of entertainment. Obviously this kind of stop motion thing is a little different for them to kind of fully invest in at the Pokemon company with Netflix, but I think it was a smash hit. It's still doing well, so I'm very excited to get some more.
What was your favorite Pokemon in the show?
Literally every single one. They keep showing on TikTok, especially. I keep seeing this little gif of like Furret going around that they did.
Yeah.
And he's so cute. He's so cute. I just want so many more episodes to see all of these. And I also would love for them to come out, and I know this is a shot in the dark here in the United States, but to like come out with some sort of like knit felt stuffy collection, that mimics the designs of the Pokemon in Pokemon Concierge. Mm-hmm. They're just so freaking adorable. So fingers crossed, be great for my mental health, bad for my wallet, but we'll see.
This feels like, again, right? Like, I need the merchandise is what.
Oh, yeah. I needed it yesterday. Yeah. For sure. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Well, good. We're glad to have you back. If you're new to the show, welcome. This is your show all about Pokemon. And we love Pokemon. You love Pokemon. That's why you're here. We do the show live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Twitch.tv/comicbook, or you can watch it live on Facebook, or now you can watch it live on X or Twitter, whatever it's calling itself these days, the identity crisis one. We have a bunch of stuff to go through today, some news, yeah. And then we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about the kind of, you know, the end of Scarlet and Violet, and then we'll do a Pokemon fact of the week. Let's start.
Yes, we will. Do we have any reviews?
We do. We do. I pulled them up. Let's see. You can, for all our Spotify listeners, you can, there's a Q&A that gets posted with each and every episode that you can answer and, you know, drop a question in, things of that nature. We have one from A. Wilkins 91, the silver on Spotify, concierge was amazing. We have G Dog saying, good pod, my favorite Pokemon is Aurora. I think you should do a collab with the Shadowless podcast. We have McGundam, frequent live viewer. Can we get the hot take with Christian on how both Santa and Delibird exist in the Pokemon universe?
Like Delibird is Santa's familiar.
Yeah, well, I'd say how it works is there's no such thing as elves in the Pokemon universe. There are only Delibird. And so Santa and Delibird simply collaborate. You know, he probably has a herd of Delibird similar to how Ash has a herd of Tauros. And that's how that works.
That makes sense. That makes sense. We got one from a little bit ago from Matt Curtin. Amazing episode. Glad to have the three gym leaders back in action. I guess this was from a while ago. Can't wait for the next episode. Don't forget, Miss M needs to find her Squishmallows. Hit up a Hallmark store. They have many.
Oh.
I don't know if you've been to a Hallmark store, Megan.
You wouldn't think it. I'm, at least at Christmas, a Hallmark fanatic. I'm part of the Keepsake Ornament Club. It's ridiculous how much I've been to Hallmark in the last, 3 months. Nothing. I've seen it's, you know what? It's honestly a conspiracy at this point against me.
To be fair, I don't think I've actually seen any in the wild either. Really anywhere.
It's been a hot minute since I saw one. So yeah.
So all right. And then we had one on iTunes too. This one's from Sal in the studio, the Wild Podcast. I'm a fan of the podcast. I love the podcast and listen every night. I have two questions. My first is, why does Geodude only have two arms since Graveler has four? My second question is, tell me all the Squishmallows that you have been hunting for. Megan, we know, has been hunting for
Gengar. Every size of Gengar.
Any size of Gengar.
Yes. I'll take any and all.
Megan will just be, she would just like to have one.
Yeah.
As far as your first question, why does Geodude have two arms and Graveler has four? I mean, I always, you know, assume Graveler is just a bunch of Geodudes piling on one another, and that's why we have what we have. And that's why he's got two arms. He probably has more. I just can't really see them.
What happens is
that Graveler gets compressed by heat or something so much that that's how we get Golem.
And then it explodes.
Gold.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It
keeps getting compressed that it can't compress anymore, that it just goes.
This reminds me. The correct answer is, because on Twitter, while I was sick, I finally, checked, or X, the identity crisis, checked a DM, had a message from one of the listeners here who began questioning me about the validity and what Pokemon options we would have in the Pokemon universe to commit capital punishment.
Wow.
So, and somebody brought up Geodude as an option. They also brought up others. So I would just like to know. I'm going to find you on Twitter. Go head up to our Twitter. I will absolutely go through and discuss the pros and cons to this. But to the person who asked the question about which Pokemon would be best at, you know, seeing through capital punishment, you really want us to do Pokemon After Dark.
Pokemon After Dark.
The correct answer, by the way, is Spidops, which is a literal Pokemon that dropped nooses for people.
Okay.
Just saying.
That's literally what that Pokemon does.
I know, the worst. All right, well, so there we go. You can leave questions, reviews, all that fun stuff on iTunes. It's the best way to support the show. 5-star review. If we read it on the air, we'll send you a sticker. And at PokemonPodCB@gmail.com to do that. All right, let's get into the news. I want to start with the fashion thing first, because I always love talking about these things. But I didn't realize it was also controversial. Is it controversial just because it's expensive?
It's controversial. So the merchandise collaboration is between, I believe these are Italian fashion brands.
Fendi.
And then there's Frogmont, FRGMT. I don't know what the hell that is. And Pokemon.
Yeah.
Fragment. I would have never guessed that one in a million years.
I thought Fragment was like
Christian in a world where all new brands have taken out all of their vowels.
Guys, I wear Old Navy flannels and t-shirts that I get for cheap. So I'm not really like very fashion conscious. There's only so much headspace I can devote to things. And a long time ago, I made peace with fashion, was just not going to be one of them. Anyways, so these two brands are doing a cross collaboration with Pokemon. You can now go, you won't be able to afford any of them, because like even a t-shirt is $800.
It's like $820.
Yeah, so like, you know, this is all
unless you
like,
want to buy it on Pokemon Go, and then you know, then it's like,
yes, so you can buy it on Pokemon Go, and if you are some like richy European, then you know you can probably go and afford this while also working like 20 hours a week, like what they do over there. But where this becomes controversial is because apparently some of the bags are made of genuine calf skin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's very, 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 very common for that to happen, especially with Italian handbags.
Which in a franchise that is about the peaceful coexistence of humans and magical animals that can kill us with their breath, having calfskin, you know, some people found this to be in poor taste.
I mean, hey, let's at least just be grateful that none of the collaborative Pokemon used in this collection are like Milk Tank or something.
Yeah.
It's a Dragonair.
Although that said, like I'm always a little like surprised or shocked at the Pokemon choices when these collabs come up. Is there just some Italian designer over at Fendi who is just like, oh, I love Dragonite. He's gonna be on all our bags.
Pokemon surprised me.
There's plenty of others.
I mean, hey, if you want one of the bags, you just got to shell out at least $5,000. So, like,
even when you look at like that classic Fendi design, which is like the browns with the F's or whatever, I feel like there's others.
Is that a thing that's well known?
Yes, come on, Christian.
Fendi. For somebody who also really just only wears thrifted clothes, I know a hilarious amount of designer knowledge because of my TikTok timeline. I don't know why, but Fendi's had like a really big resurgence in terms of like fashion, especially with purses. Their like vintage baguette style is like super big right now, which is a lot of the bags that are being created for this collection with Pokemon is that baguette silhouette. And also, luxury items in Japan, I think, are always really interesting because for people who are fashion forward and have, you know, disposable income, discretionary income to spend on these luxury items, a lot of them go to Japan because Japan has a huge, huge subculture of vintage luxury purses that you can get for like super cheap. at like thrift stores and stuff there. So like, I'm not necessarily surprised to see all of this come together with Pokemon and Fendi, just given kind of, you know, the social media, you know, trends that are going on right now with luxury items in fashion. I do not understand why they picked the Pokemon that they pick. And
like the shirts look, like the shirts look nice. Like,
yeah, they're very nice. You know, one wash, like, and, you know, it's probably ruined forever. I mean, at that point, you're dry cleaning it. I just don't. It's so expensive. These items,
$850.
These items, it's expensive.
The shirt,
man.
Yeah,
it's truly something that I cannot even begin to deal with. You know, when I got my, you know, my wedding dress, I was like hyperventilating because it was so much money, and I'm like, wow, this purse.
Someone's gonna go. Someone's gonna fit my phone and some lip gloss
in. Costs multiple times more than my wedding dress did. So
someone's gonna go work out in this Dragonite.
Honestly, you know what? If get your money's worth out of it, wear it every single day to every single event. Man. I don't care if you're going to, like, you know, if you work in a, you know, business setting, you got to dress professionally. Wear the shirt underneath your suit.
No, and the knockoffs are already all over the place. You post.
Oh yeah, I mean there was no way that was not going to happen. Oh, yeah. But it's interesting when Pokemon always does these design situations. I just am so confused by the Pokemon that they pick.
That's what I mean. Like, is it? I always wonder if it's Pokemon saying, "Okay, here is a list of Pokemon that you can use for this," or if it's the designers going to Pokemon saying, "Can we please use this one?"
I feel like it has to be the first. I would be like,
here's a list of collaboration safe.
I mean, just thinking from just like a, you know, exclusivity, you know, perspective, I'm sure for some of the other luxury designer collaborations that Pokemon has done, they probably try to keep the Pokemon separate. So like, okay, Gucci can work with Pikachu, and Fendi can work with Dragonite, and XYZ can continue to move. So there's like also a little bit of differentiation.
But then there's got to be like price tiers, right? Like, you want Pikachu, you got to pay X amount of more for that than if you want Dragonite, I guess, that's like a B or C tier.
Right. I mean, in terms of luxury, Fendi's cool. The only kind of luxury thing that I've ever really looked at and been like, ah, this is really cool and I would love to see, is the luxury house Schiaparelli has such a cool historical like background to it, you know, in comparison to other houses like Chanel or something. Schiaparelli is super innovative with its like art deco and its history. I would love to see them do something with Pokemon, just because it would be insane. It would probably make like full head pieces of like Raikou that you could wear in the street. And like, if they did that, like I would be far more willing in a world where I had the money to do this, to spend money on that than to buy a little purse.
I forgot when you mentioned Gucci, I went to go look up one. I forgot that they did, like, not only did Gucci do it, but they did it with North Face.
Oh, and yeah. Oh yeah. It's weird. I don't know. At this point, I guess we'll see what house happens next. I put in my vote for Schiaparelli, but I'm
sure that won't happen. Like, I mean, like a McQueen Pokemon collab.
Black milk. So, you know.
Just like give me that McQueen Pokemon collab.
Oh my gosh, that would be absolutely insane. The amount of feathers.
We are way out of, like, you guys are saying words.
You guys are talking about McQueen. And I'm like, lightning? What?
Okay, but to be honest, that was also my first inclination.
Right.
And then I had to do a really quick pivot.
Right. No, I only know all this only because the building where I worked at was on Fifth Avenue, and so like to work was walking.
So as you were wearing your bearskin,
right?
You know, you would sit there and look sadly into the window of Gucci, and like, one day I will get out of this literal, you know, suit of a bear and put on something nicer.
No, not even a little bit. But anyway, let's move on. Semantics is pointing out we've gone on a super tangent. Anyway, we have some events going on in Pokemon Go and Scarlet and Violet. Christian, what do we got?
Yes. So the event of the week is, give me a second. Let's see here. So the let's start with Pokemon Go. Or no, let's not start with Pokemon Go. I guess we can start with Pokemon Go. I thought this event was earlier.
We can start with whatever you want, Christian.
I'm trying to figure it out. Dang it. what is going on here? I can't find the Pokemon Go event. I found next week's Pokemon Go event, but that does me no good here now. So Pokemon and yeah. Oh, there it is. Oh, it's the Lustrous Odyssey event. That's what started up, and that's going on right now. And this is the what introduces Lycanroc. The dusk form of Lycanroc to Pokemon Go. So in order to get Lycanroc, I forget, and because there's controversy involving this. Dusk form Lycanroc in Pokemon Go. So how you get dusk form Lycanroc in Pokemon Go is that you literally just need to, it's random. So it's not like time-based. It's not anything like that. It just means that only new Rockruffs randomly have the evolution trait that allows it to evolve into dusk form Lycanroc. And that ticks people off. So it's only hatched ones apparently, which that's obnoxious. So people are annoyed about that, which, you know, it's Pokemon Go. So of course they're annoyed. The Pokemon Scarlet and Violet event is the next 7-star Terror Raid will be for Blaziken the Unrivaled, which is a Flying-type Blaziken, which almost certainly will have some sort of ground coverage to knock out Electric-types. So that is what that is. So I'm guessing it's going to be, yeah. So that starts off this weekend, right? I had this all.
Yep. And then next week is the Cutiefly one, right?
Yeah. Cutiefly is next week. Cutiefly is the next one. And that introduces some new shinies to the game, which people are kind of about. So, yeah. So that's what's going on in Pokemon Go. There's events. People are mad about it. Water is wet.
When does anybody just like, I can't even remember the last time that the Pokemon fandom, as a, you know, majority has been, you know, pleased with something Pokemon Go has done.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting. So I follow a number of streamers who were like big Pokemon Go streamers, and they've all have since like moved on to just like shiny hunting on Scarlet and Violet and stuff like that. But I missed the context of it, but something happened over in like the last week or two where a bunch of them came out and they were just like, we would love to play Pokemon Go again, but like anytime that, or they feel that Niantic is being disingenuous anytime that they solicit feedback from the community saying we want to make change, and then basically do the exact opposite, which feels like is still the case.
That's pretty listen, there unfortunately with Pokemon Go there is just a fundamental disagreement with how large portions of the fan base want to play this game compared to how Niantic thinks the game should be played. And I just don't think there's any reconciling that.
No, not at this point.
Have they shut down their Pokemon Go fake? What the hell? What was that called?
Oh, that like original one that they put
the on. Original one that was Pokemon Go, but not but with no Pokemon.
It was supposed to have
an Ingress
NFT. Yes.
No.
The NFT one.
Yeah, the NFT. Oh,
tell you the name of because no one cares.
Yeah, give me a second.
What was it?
Come on, somebody, chat, help us.
I'm pulling it up. They still have a picture of it on their website. Yeah, on their website. So about
isn't Niantic supposed to be doing a Monster Hunter thing too?
That's going great.
Oh, it is. Monster Hunter one
nice
is?
To hear.
Yeah, Monster Hunter is just doing fabulous for them, mostly in Japan. But yeah,
well, of course, Monster Hunter in Japan is.
Yeah, it's doing awesome. Like Monster Hunter now is doing great. It's exceeding their expectations, to be blunt.
What about then they made that Pikmin one too.
Pikmin is Pikmin. It's doing fine. Like that one I don't think is like doing much, but I don't think they needed to do much.
Peridot. That's what it's called.
Peridot. Yeah. Peridot. I was gonna say Peridot. Peridot is what's happening in Peridot. I mean, they've now moved to everyone's favorite thing, generative AI.
You know what?
Like people didn't get mad at us enough for the NFTs. How do we make them even more mad at us?
The tone deafness. Whatever. I can't. I'm already upset because Duolingo is now doing AI generative stuff with its translations. Now the reports have gone through, and I haven't used Duolingo in a while, but I was so competitive with my streaks. Now I must find somewhere else to continue my acquisition of the Japanese language.
No, that one. So, you know, I'm as somebody who literally I feel like that's all I write about right now is generative AI.
Because you deal with it all in the between magic and D&D. Like,
oh, yeah, that's your sweet spot, unfortunately.
I mean, I put it on Twitter this weekend, you know, I really hate writing about this stuff, but, you know, I do get paid by the article. So,
I'm sure they exist, but I'm a little surprised that like someone really hasn't tried to like come out and make a Pokemon like clone. I guess that's what Peridot is, but more with just like fully generative AI.
So
it's one of those things that like someone would come up and build a really scammy looking card game
I'm sure it'll happen but the problem is that you know I mean that it's called MetaZoo
The MetaZoo is just where people creating things just on mushrooms, but that's fine.
Yeah, and trying to sell it for lots of money. AI, you know, Pokemon made some like statement basically where they didn't, you know, the Pokemon. And the thing is, so generative AI, the big issue is that people are rightfully worried that it is going to take away from human jobs. You know, it is generative AI. Well, there's a couple different problems. One, it's just ripping off real human work.
Plagiarism concerns are very valid.
Yeah, very real.
And that's not like a conspiracy thing. Like that's been proven. And so like it's not like
Many times over and over again it has been proven in different ways.
Right.
Yeah. So the issue with the problem with Pokemon is they basically, you know, came out and they released that in a recent interview. One of their executives said that, oh yeah, they were looking at how AI can shape and change their business, which, you know, is not exactly a shocking answer, because literally every business says that.
Yeah, everyone.
But you know, I think the big worry with the Pokemon company is, you know, if they would ever use AI within their card game.
I can't imagine they would do that.
I mean, you don't think they would, but, you know.
No.
But then they do. And then
10 years from now, who knows?
The precedent has been set.
Yeah. But,
This
is a little bit of a side tangent, but going back to our collaboration conversation the other day, and only because I saw it pop up the other day, I don't know if any of you have, like, those Stanley Tumblr mugs or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
People went absolutely crazy for them this past weekend, because I guess Starbucks put out one and Target put out one. Could you imagine?
It was the Target Starbucks Valentine's Day exclusive.
That's what it is. Right. Okay. Thank you, Megan. Could you imagine if Pokemon and Stanley did something together?
Do you remember
the blood? I mean, Target has already had employees shed blood over Pokemon, and now it's having people shed blood over Stanley. I mean, they'd have to have armed guards.
I can't wait till next week until they announce a Pokemon Stanley.
But also, I would be desperately trying to get one. I would just not go in person because I would be very actually concerned I would get.
Here's why I don't think it would happen is because, like Megan, what you were saying before, I don't think Stanley has the same foothold in Japan as it does here. Seemingly,
no, so, like, it would definitely require a lot of footwork on part of, like, you know, the Pokemon Company International, like, coming right in and, like, trying to negotiate that yeah, that way. But yeah, man, I mean, like, I don't have Stanley. I have, like, knockoff ones because, you know, discretionary income.
There's just somewhere like Yeti is standing in the background
littered going with Pokemon vinyl stickers. So, you know,
make your own.
Yeah. I mean, legitimately, you can just put stickers on them and then you get to do yourself, you know,
I need them laser etched into it, Megan.
I know, but like, no, I'm here. I'm not saying, man, it would be bad. I mean, I'm the kind of person that, like, with Squishmallows, I mean, McDonald's has their, like, Squishmallow, yeah, like, kids meal right now.
Oh, we know.
Oh, my kid is. So does my house. My husband is very much aware, because every time I'm like, do you think that one has Squishmallows?
My kids love McDonald's because, you know, they're children. Sure. And so we go and we've gotten a couple of the Squishmallow things, and like the non-plussing that goes on with, like, when they open up, it's like, oh, it's a Squishmallow, and they're like, meh. It cracks me up. It, like, legitimately, it's like, oh kids, like, you know, I'm sure that thing is selling off eBay for like $40.
if I could bottle up my kid's excitement every time she opens one, not knowing what she's gonna get inside, I could live forever.
It's potent stuff, man.
It is. All right, we got to take a break, pay some bills. When we get back, some more Scarlet and Violet talk, Pokemon Fact of the Week, and then we'll wrap this whole baby up. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right. This could be, maybe, depending on how this conversation goes, one of the last times we really kind of talk about Scarlet and Violet. Oh, maybe.
Thank God.
Because as Christian has alluded to in the notes, this is the end, right?
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah. So the epilogue is coming this week. It is January 11th at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Is when the epilogue will be released, and it will be probably the last bit of non-raid content that we get for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Now, it's possible that we'll get more little stuff, kind of like the Palkia and Dialga raids, which, you know, that was technically a little mini event that they didn't really talk about at all for some reason. But it's possible we'll get more events like that. But outside of, you know, the raids and things like that, this epilogue is likely going to be the last actual story content that we get for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. I don't think they would recall like this the epilogue if they had like another DLC planned for next year, you know. So this is the epilogue. While nothing has been confirmed yet, it is highly hinted at that it will introduce a new mythical Pokemon, which is the quote unquote master of the Loyal Three, and is the Peach Pokemon that kind of might have that resurrected those three and was responsible for Ogerpon's trainer or owner or friend's death. So we'll get all of that here in the coming week, probably. So that is it. That is should be the last of it, unless they announce in February that we're going to get another batch of DLC, which I doubt.
Well, I think last week, Megan, we were talking about the all the Switch 2 rumors, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And how, you know, with Pokemon Day right around the corner, you know, what that may look like. And so it'll be interesting, only because the one thing I wish these games did a little bit more, because I can't imagine it's too hard to do based off when like things like the epilogue and stuff come out, is I wish these gave teases at the very end to kind of what's next, right? Like because it's, I mean, not that like kids care or whatever, but like, you know, not everyone is super tied in online all the time and whatever. And so like, I think to outside of, well, yeah, expect a new Pokemon game at some point, but just, you know, just that little crumb, right? Of, hey, here's what's next, but these don't do that.
So there's a couple of, you know, so the games always have some kind of tease towards the next game. Scarlet or Sword and Shield. Yeah. Sword and Shield had an entire wing of their hotel that you couldn't access that was in a orange and violet, you know, but orange and grapes. That was a big reference.
Oh, okay. I need them to be a little bit more explicit then.
Yeah, I mean, it's all very subtle details. It's decor, yeah, settings, obscure maps, book titles. I'm, like, it's nothing like hand-holdy, like, sure, Marvel post credits.
No, I need a Captain America Will Return
at the very end. Oh, okay. You need a Captain Pikachu Will Return.
right. So has there been any speculation then in this?
There's two pieces of artwork that people have kind of like fixated on. That those are the big rumors. Is the first is in your house there is a street. There's a picture that's called Midday Street, which has like, it says it's from a different region, and people think it's like looks Italian. And the other thing is in the academy you can go and take a look at. There's a piece of artwork that kind of looks Australian, like it kind of looks like it's not called Ayers Rock anymore, but the large monolithic rock that is formerly known as Ayers Rock.
I mean, it's about time we got Australia.
God, yeah, people think.
Imagine the insanity. Give me every kind. Oh no, actually, I'm rolling back everything I literally just said, because can you imagine the spider Pokemon that would come out of an Australia region?
It would just be just Spidops. It would be nothing but large spider Pokemon.
You'd have to include an arachnophobia mode.
All they would do is.
Kangaroo starter, 100%.
A kangaroo starter, yeah.
Selfishly,
I want the Italian one, man. I want a meatball Pokemon.
You would get mad when they didn't have like a spaghetti mode or something like that. Like,
no, no,
spaghetti mode?
They would sit in, and it's like, okay, you know, here's the picnic that you're making, and it would be some sort of like, it would be like, wait. You know, the canned sauce And then you'd like break your Switch in half, throw it out the window. It would probably be like the base, mixed spaghetti, but they'd give you like 15 different types of sauces. But because you didn't handmade and they weren't runny, watery, chunky tomato sauce, you would find it to be unacceptable. And then you would declare it to be the worst game ever.
I don't know if you've seen my sauce. It is not chunky or watery one bit, Christian. Okay. But like it's perfect. You can make a flying spaghetti monster.
It would literally just be the plot of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It would be. That's what the plot would be. We're in the Italian Pokemon region spaghetti of Pokemon and it seems to be raining meatballs. And that's the whole quest. You have to like fix global warming because it's raining. That's one of the legendary monsters. Giant meatballs.
The new like game mechanic gimmick for that generation would just be like rage mode, where Pokemon would just get really angry and start yelling at each other. All they can do
get
is offensive
move.
Yeah, just a lot of shouting at each other.
I'm into it. They could do some really cool stuff with like Florence. There's obviously a ton of diversity that can
like
do
a lot of do a bunch of like Renaissance art inspired stuff. Like
they could have like a statue of like the like David, but it's a Pokemon. I'm not against it. I'm here for it.
I'm actually kind of shocked that region hasn't been done yet.
I mean, that might be in the works
because
Italy and Australia, honestly, it's hard for me to pick which one I would want more. I lean towards Italy now just because I'm terrified of what spider monstrosities Australia would create. Just saying.
So the big question is all we need to do is figure out what big expensive vacation the Pokemon executives have gone on recently, and that is where they will end up. Yeah, that's where the next generation will be.
Honestly, from Japan to Australia, not that big of a leap. Honestly, it's not that big of a leap.
It's really funny. So, you know, the Pokemon World Championships had like three or four consecutive years where they were like in Hawaii. Like Hawaii was like their place. And so apparently like one of the jokes about that is like the Pokemon executives must freaking love Hawaii. And it's like, oh, Pokemon World Championships are in Hawaii. No choice but just to send the entire country to a freaking resort in like Oahu. I'm like, oh, darn.
Like Hawaii to Japan is basically like Bermuda to us here in the States.
I mean, honestly, it's not too bad. They're wanting to try to do something like a more, unexpected locale. I definitely think Italy would be a great. I'd be curious if they would do Italy so close to something like Paldea, which is kind of that European vibe. That's the only thing that I would be questioning. Does it make more sense to do it so close to the Paldea region? And it's like the Iberian Peninsula, Spain, and all that stuff.
I tell you, Megan, we are one, maybe two generations away from being able to travel to all of the regions.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna be 10 out of 10 excited.
Could you imagine?
I mean, there'd be so much they could do. I'm honestly, if it's either Australia or Italy, I'd be here for it.
Yeah,
just a little scared of Australia because of the spiders, but it'd be really cool if they could do like a DLC patch that's kind of like New Zealand or something. Yeah. I think I'm leaning actually towards Italy. I
love it.
Yes,
I'm me
going,
too.
Yeah. I'm going with Italy.
So for the record, like the a lot of the Pokemon folks, a lot of like Pokemon fans think it's Australia.
Dang it! Come on. I can be okay with it if we get like marsupial evolutions. Just
think of the koala bear Pokemon that we're gonna get.
We already have a koala Pokemon. It's called Koala. People just
no, but a better one.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing is like so. Like I said, the big tease was the rock. It's called Uluru, by the way. I looked it up, and like it's when you see like the it's like on the sides of the art, and you like see and it's like, oh, I know that rock. And that actually seems like pretty obvious thing to do. Like, oh, it's a big monument that we can make into the centerpiece of our entire country. Does that seem to be a thing that Pokemon likes to do?
Yes. And they're going to turn it into a legendary Pokemon or a mythical Pokemon.
I mean, there's a lot of cool things. You could do a lot of really cool stuff involving like the Aborigine.
There's a ton of original history and lore that they could go into.
I think both are great options.
An evolutionary series that a Pokemon evolves into the Sydney Opera House. We can have Duraludon. We can have a Pokemon.
That's what's going to be Duraludon's regional variant.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely what's going to. Yeah, that's it. Obviously, I mean, you can make, you know, the kangaroo jokes and spider jokes as much as you want, but there is, a great amount of history that they could.
Yeah, there's a ton of great stuff.
Crocodiles, love it. So good.
Well, I think the other thing too, right? Like, such a big part of these games is also like the architecture. And I think, like I said, Australia's got some really cool stuff that they can do, not only in kind of like the wild lands, but also take some of that city culture that they have, as well. I mean, I selfishly just want it in Italy.
Yeah, because I mean, you have something built in with like the outback of Australia that they could do some really crazy cave systems, wild area systems. So if either of these two options are the ones, I'm going to be pretty happy with it, as long as they don't absolutely, one, bore me to tears with the story, and two, the game actually plays on my Switch.
Yeah.
It's fine. You're playing it on the Switch too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so or the Switch 2, whatever that console is going to look like.
Yeah. All right. All right, let's do the Pokemon Fact of the Week and get out of here.
We're to a new generation, friends. We're officially Gen 4.
Wow. So
we have to start things off with, of course, the grass starter Pokemon, which is Turtwig. So Turtwig's fun fact is that the shell on Turtwig's back isn't actually a shell. It is simply hardened soil, which kind of tracks if you pay attention to its evolution, but that is not a shell. It's just simply really hard soil. And that is something that kind of goes along in all of its different, all of its Pokedex entries. And Groudon also, they mentioned, it's not a shell, just soil. The funny thing is about Groudon is that because it is, it actually apparently has a knack for finding a secret spring water. Each Groudon has its own secret source of pure spring water.
I love this line. I think Turtwig is probably one of my favorites of the starters, and I freaking love Torterra. Turtwig, I think, of the starters is probably my least favorite, like of the base starters. But like when you look at the whole line, easily my favorite.
Well, Gen 4 is easily like the best of the starter. I think, like, other than maybe Gen 1, which that's just my Gen 1 bias showing, Gen 4 probably has like the best set of starters. Not a single miss in those. I actually love Torterra. I think it's a great idea for a Pokemon. It looks awesome. I also love the fact that some people just think that the world is a Torterra. which always makes me laugh. It reminds me of the Detective Pikachu movie.
I mean, like the how they showed Torterra in the Detective Pikachu movie was one of the coolest things.
Oh yeah,
like, they made these things massive, and like that is cool. Like, I mean, I don't know how you stick one of those in a teeny tiny Pokeball, but sure, sure. All right, well there we go.
Okay, another episode done.
Done. We did it. We made it. Megan's back. She's feeling good.
And I fully expect to never have to talk about Scarlet and Violet again.
Well, you're going to have to talk about it for one more week when we talk about the epilogue, and then we'll be done.
Can't wait to talk about the epilogue.
Okay, but after that, anybody brings up Scarlet and Violet after the epilogue, I will stop. You have been stopped. That is what will happen.
Well, then, because anyway, then it, by that point, we're only like, what, a month out from Pokemon Day?
Yeah, we will be full speculation mode for Pokemon Day.
Yeah, because then we'll usually, we don't necessarily get teasers, but we'll definitely get
We'll be looking at legal
like
paperwork,
the trademark, all paperwork, the
any kind of potential paperwork from Japan.
all the scoopers will be out and be like, we've got this coming, or this is coming, and this is coming. So we'll see. All right, folks, we appreciate you spending time with us again this week. If you want to get more involved, number of ways to do it. First, foremost, probably the most important and the most fun, the Discord. You'll find the link to the Discord in the Pokemon episode description and the Pokemon the podcast description itself. And you'll find it as a pinned post on X under our account there, Pokemon Pods, at Pokemon Pod CB. If you want to, again, leave a review, 5-star reviews. If we read them on the air, we'll send you a sticker, and you can drop a question there for us. You can drop a question in the Discord for us. We are working on getting some guests in the coming weeks, and so we'll hope to get some of that back up and running. We had a bunch of really fun ones last year, so we want to definitely get some more this year. And then, yeah, otherwise, if you want to talk to any one of us, you can find us in Discord, or you can find us over on Twitter, X. I'm at Jim Biscardi. Megan is at Megan Peters CB, and Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. Until next time, folks, may the shiny luck be in your favor. We'll catch you next week. Peace.